So it's good to be back. I don't remember when you called me last week. I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday. I got a call from Jason saying that there have been some changes going on. And he told me that you guys were doing the Psalms. And I was like, okay. And he said, so we're looking at praise. And I was like, okay. And last week was just a terrible week. It was just a horrible week. And what I mean by horrible, I mean it was horrible. So the Saturday before, my wife and I lost a nephew of 37 years old. And so all last week, we were just running around, scrambling, trying to get things in order to go out of town to go back to Texas. And so I'm in a fog just trying to get things done. And we have two dogs, and one is a puppy and requires all of the attention in the world. And so we got to board dogs, we got to get airplane tickets, we got to get hotel arrangements, and it's just, there's just so much going on. It's like, when am I going to stop to actually focus on what I, other things I got going on? Because that becomes the most important. But then it kind of hit me that, well, that's kind of the rhythm of the Psalms. The Psalms really don't take a break and ask you if you have time. They just keep going. And so I'm sure that Jason in his initial sermon on Sunday kind of probably gave you the backdrop of how Psalms work. If he did any research in terms of Brueggemann, the whole orientation, disorientation, reorientation. And though that's fine and that's true, I think the Psalms actually speak even closer to our heart than that. Because the Psalms, even though they are in five different succinct books, they actually mirror Torah, the first five books. So what we see in Genesis through Deuteronomy is God's ability to move people from orientation in Genesis 1 and 2. That disorientation happens in chapter 3 when sin enters the world. And we see disorientation from that moment on. And they're about to be reoriented when they go into the promised land, when Moses sets them up in Deuteronomy. That if you keep this law, it will go well with you. You will stay in a place of eternal life if you just follow these directions. And what's really amazing is that every time that they go from disorientation to reorientation, there's this moment of spontaneous outbreak where they just sing these random songs. Some of you might remember when they cross over the Red Sea, Miriam just breaks out in song. Moses breaks out in song. And the Psalms do the exact same thing, but instead of telling us this in narrative form, they do it by touching our soul. The Psalm speaks to our heart. Not the one that pumps blood, but the one that is the very essence of our being. And so in five distinct books, the Psalms roll us through orientation, disorientation, reorientation. But more so, they roll us through something that we might be more familiar with. Life, death, and resurrection. The Psalms help us to grapple with what it means to be human, to feel, to experience pain, what it means to have moments of great joy and moments of immense sadness. The Psalms speak to moments when we don't have words and yet our heart just aches. The Psalms talk to us about those times when we just cry out. And they also speak to us in those moments where you ever just had a song that just hit you in the moment and tears just started flowing and you didn't know why you were crying, but you couldn't stop them, but they just kept coming because something was just touching you on the inside. And people are looking at you, but you don't care because there's something in that moment that is spiritual and it's otherworldly, and the Psalms connect that message. They connect to us on that level. And so tonight, for a brief moment, I want us to look at Psalm 100. Because it begins this pattern that of praise. And for so long, I thought that that's exactly what it was, just the praise song. But at a closer reading, we find out that it's a lot more. So if you have your Bibles, the 100th Psalm says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Growing up in the church, we would have these opening moments where we would read a psalm before we started worship. Some of you might have grew up in a little country church like it, where they did that. Or if not, maybe you had one of those Gideon Bibles that had the New Testament and that included these two wisdom books of Psalms and Proverbs. But every Sunday when we'd get up and read a psalm, and most of the time it was Psalm 100, the person who would get up to call us to worship would read the psalm and everybody would recite it together, and then we'd go on about the traditional functions of worship, doing what we thought were the five acts, because that's what we did as good Church of Christ people. And we never thought more about that psalm after we just read it and recited it. We didn't reference it anymore. We didn't go back and look at it. Nobody explained it. It was like, this is just a normal call to worship. We're just going to read this psalm and just keep it moving. And now looking back at it, I almost wonder if we did a disjustice to the psalm. And the reason I say that, because what's happening specifically in Psalm 100, you have somebody who's struggling. The writer of this psalm is struggling. He didn't come in, or she didn't come in, feeling like praising in the moment. But instead, they have to move themselves into a state of praise, even they don't feel like praising. You ever been there? You ever showed up to church and your heart was just heavy? Everything else in the world, all the cares that were going on were just constant on your mind. You were thinking about what you had to do as soon as you left, and you couldn't even be present in the space. You couldn't focus. And the worship leader got up before you and said, I want everybody to stand. We're going to praise God together. And the first thing on your mind was like, I just want to sit here, and I wish you would shut up. Of course, y'all don't think that because you have Luke. But in the moment, you just weren't ready to offer that praise and to give God everything because you didn't have anything to give. You just didn't have it. You didn't come in feeling like singing, these are the days of Elijah, and you weren't ready to clap and do the woo. You was just like, can we just not do this today? And the more that they tried to coerce you into getting excited and to being joyful, the less you feel like doing it. And then you walk out to your car and you be like, that was just the worst. And of course, I don't feel like that because you have Luke. See, that's what this person is going through. And so they show up where everybody else is ready to praise God. And they got to tell themselves and give themselves a self-affirmation that I'm showing up to the place of God. And life might not be going well right now, but God is still there. And so if I got to show up to where God is, and if I trust God for who God says he is, then even whatever is going on around me and whatever might even be going on within me, for a moment, I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to praise God, even though everything in me feels horrible. I'm going to shout to the top of the rooftops and cry out hallelujah, even though life is horrible right now. I don't know what's going on. I don't have all the answers, but yet here I am. And when the worship leader says we're going to stand and praise God, I'm going to give it the best that I got. And what happens in this psalm, as you walk through it, you begin to see something change within the writer. Because they come to the moment that I hope all of us come to. They come to the pivotal moment that hopefully all of us will come to. And he says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Well, what are you talking about? Is this a reference to Psalm 23? Maybe. But more so, it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Because he lets us know that because I identify with being part of God's flock, I get a choice whether I'm going to enter those gates or not. Nobody forced you, unless you're a child, to be here tonight. Nobody forces us to show up to worship. Nobody's pulling our hand and manipulating us and dragging us. But if you're going to walk through those doors where God is, then you had a choice. And if you made the choice to come in, then you made the choice to praise God, regardless if you felt like it or not, regardless of what other things might be going on around you. If you made the choice to walk through the doors and to be God's people and to be with God's people, then you made the choice to praise God. And if you don't want to praise God, then you should have made the choice not to show up to where God was. And so the psalmist says that I made a choice. I walked in these gates, so therefore that's what you're going to get is thanksgiving and praise. Even if I don't have it to give, I'm going to give you what I have. I had a preacher who once used to say that some of us, if you don't have what you want, learn to want what you have. And if you have God, then you have a reason to praise. I don't know what might be going on in your circumstances. I don't know what might be going on in your life and in your family. But if you walk through those doors tonight, you had a choice. And you made the choice by coming in. So therefore, the choice is you're going to praise God because of it. Because God is a good God. The psalmist has to remind himself through this affirmation that I know that life isn't perfect. It's full of grief and heartache. There's a lot of burdens that are too heavy for us to bear. But I have to remember that God is a good God, and if I walk through those doors where the people of God assemble, then everything else for a brief moment has to go to the back row, and I have to praise God because God is worth it, and he's worthy of it, and he deserves it. And I love how he reminds himself of who God is. He says, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. See, Brueggemann points out that in this psalm, it would have probably been easier if we would have flipped the second clause and put it before the first one. He says, but we recognize the paradox in this one, unlike what we see in Psalm 117. And the paradox is that he starts by motivating himself, and then he gives himself the reason. He motivates himself, and then he gives himself a reason. I think some of us know what it's like to have to motivate ourselves, even when we don't have a reason. And somehow, when we motivate ourselves enough just to do it, the reason comes. See, there have been many times. And one of the most vivid ones in my mind was when I was doing Zoe Conference a few years ago, and it was literally a couple weeks after my mom had passed. And if you've ever lost a mother, you know there's nothing that compares to a mother's love. It just, and especially being the only boy and the youngest, people said I was spoiled. I just said I was very much loved. But it was hard to sit in there and listen to all these worship and praise songs. But for some reason that day, I just cried the whole time getting ready to speak. I just did. And if you ask my wife, I'm not really an emotional person. I sweat from my eyeballs occasionally. But I was like boo-hoo-hooing for a moment, and I just couldn't stop it, which made me feel weird because normally I can stop it. I'm like, stop that, check that. Like, I'm the person who watches The Lion King when Mufasa dies, and I'm like, stop crying, y'all. I have no heart, obviously, my wife thinks. But in this moment, I couldn't control it. It was just going. And as I got up to speak, only thing that I could remember for some strange reason were songs of praise. Everything I had studied, everything else, I just went off script and I was like, look, something happens to us in those moments of grief, in those moments of despair. Even as a preacher, I remember very few sermons, but I remember a whole bunch of songs. And the psalmists do exactly what we need them to do. They touch our soul because music does that. Songs communicate things that oftentimes we can't express with our own emotions. Songs remind us of the truth of God, even when we don't always remember all the biblical stories and their accuracy. It's for this reason that we have to worship and we have to praise, because sometimes I have to just sing my truth into being. And I have to move myself out of the place of feeling lost and in despair and disoriented, and I can sing my place into new life. And so the psalmist in Psalm 100, he invites everybody else to help encourage him to move from a place of despair to a place where he can praise God, even though he doesn't feel like this is the moment to praise God. It's hard. It's difficult. But some of you know, sometimes songs just hit a little different when you've gone through some things. Sometimes songs that you've sung all your life just sound different when you're going through the midst of the storm. And sometimes when you begin to doubt if God is really there and if God really cares and if God sees you and hears you and if God is feeling what you're feeling, you show up to church and the last thing you feel like doing is standing and raising your hands and praising God. And I want to say that when that moment happens, remember Psalm 100. If you made a choice to walk in the door, you made a choice to praise God and give thanksgiving. And because you're there, if you just go through the process, if you just try, the shift will turn. You will actually move from disorientation to reorientation. You'll actually move from that state of death to that place of life. The songs can do that for us. Those melodic voices and harmonies singing together can move us to a place where we are fully alive again. And the reason I know that's because I've experienced it. And as I see some of you shaking your heads, I know you have too. And so this week, I don't know what's waiting on you when you walk out these doors. Some of you are probably thinking of all the tragedy that you have to endure right now. It's been a rough week, and it's probably been an even rougher day for some of us. But as we get ready to sing this last song, you walked in the door, so give God the praise. Even if you don't feel like it, I promise you, if you give him everything, you'll see a shift in your life. Things will change.